Now playing in Los Angeles, exquisite food and drink, world-class art everywhere, spectacular sports, dazzling Hollywood attractions. L.A. offers the full variety of food scene, from game-changing taco trucks to 35 Michelin stars. And did you know that Los Angeles has more museums and theaters than New York City? Get your fix in music, film, comedy, and world-class museums. Plus, get behind the scenes in movie magic with a world-famous studio tour. That's something that should be on everyone's bucket list. Start here with discoverla.com. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Our producer, Sean, is a big Mint Mobile guy. Here's what he had to say.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no drop calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done. It was great.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally. And cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Chevy.
Hi, Rob. You look good, buddy.
Thank you. You too. Where am I catching you? Where are you these days?
I'm in the hospital. I'm home. There's a huge snowstorm outside.
Oh my gosh. Don't go anywhere. Stay, please. We can't lose you. I don't want to see you in the in memoriam this year. Well, welcome to Literally. This is someone who never, ever hear on podcasts, ever. I don't think I've ever heard Chevy Chase, the legend, the GOAT, on a podcast, and we have got him. And, he influenced me more than I could ever articulate. There was never anybody as smart and irreverent and deadpan and charismatic and handsome and just his own style of humor that just blew so sky high than Chevy did in those first SNL years. And then, of course, Caddyshack, hello, and others, Fletch. I mean, this is going to be fun. Mr. Chevrolet Chase. Chevrolet Chase is coming up. Mr. Chevy, I'm so glad to have you on this show because, I mean, we've known each other a little bit over the years and we even worked together on Brothers and Sisters, but I've never had a chance to properly tell you how much you've meant to me in terms of your work, in all seriousness. And we'll get to the funny shit later. It's all good. But one of the things I love about this business is the people that inspired you. And then when you finally get to meet them and to say, thank you. And I need to do that because you taught me everything I ever wanted to know about comedy. And when I was a young idiot, kid, 12, 13, 14 year old, watching you on SNL and then through everything you've ever done, you're the fucking man, dude. And,
thank you, man. That's nice of you.
I mean,
thank you.
Really,
it's, I love that. Yeah, nice of you.
It's really, really an honor. There's never been anybody like you, as far as I can tell, and never will be anybody like you. And I remember, I'm just going to give you a little backstory. So, SNL comes out, You're the breakout star, as you should be. You're amazing in it. And then that Christmas, I asked my mom, you know, I was still making, just how young I was, lists of Christmas gifts I wanted. That tells you a little bit how young I was.
And I do that now. Yeah. Okay.
The number one thing I wanted was a shirt that said, "I'm Chevy Chase and you're not." Ah. That's what I asked for Christmas. And to tell you how different the times are, that didn't exist. So I went out and made it. I made it with the print on things and I had it. I had that shirt.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I had the same shirt made. Or no, somebody did on SNL and gave it to me. I have that t-shirt upstairs.
Really?
Isn't that funny? Yeah. I'm Chevy Chase and you're not.
Yep. How did you come up with that catchphrase?
I was doing that update. I invented this thing called Weekend Update, and it allowed me to do political and stuff, to say things that were outrageous, but in the guise of a newscaster, it would be okay. And I was always going, "Good evening, I'm Chevy Chase." I was thinking about this Channel 5 guy here in New York, Roger Grimsby. He was a newscaster in a local station, but he used to always say, "I'm Roger Grimsby, and here now the news." And I just didn't want to go that long. And I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. And that's it. Let's get to the news. That was it. It's very simple. It happened right there on the update thing.
That tells you what a different world it was, that the notion that there could be somebody involved in the news and that saying something outrageous would be funny. You've come a long way.
Yeah. It's a lot of physical stuff, though, Rob. I mean, to me, just about all comedy is physical. And that means the face I would make, or the gesture I would make, or the eyebrow lift, or the turning around. I love to say this one because it was between 75 and 76, and we came on the air just at the beginning of 76. We were on in 75 too, but I was up there on the update set, and I said, "Well, that's it for 1975, and here we are in 1970. Let's take a look back, won't we?" And I did, you know, just
turn around.
That kind of thing.
So tell me, I want to know how you, because Lorne Michaels appears without appearing on this show all the time, because I have so many SNL people on, because I love SNL, as you know. And of course, nobody can get through an interview without telling a Lorne story or doing a Lorne impersonation. I've never heard that you do one. You can't be the only person in the world that doesn't do a Lorne impersonation.
Oh, God, I probably did back then, but I don't know how to do them now.
Well, you know, Chevy, the thing about doing me is you need to be
that's
my...
It. You got it. You got it. You don't need me.
No.
That was good.
The thing about Chevy was everybody thought he was Cary Grant, and he was actually Chevy.
That's something he would say, too.
Yes. Yeah. All my impersonations are predicated on the look, the impersonations are bad. They're not that great. I know they're not that great, but what I'm saying is great because it's something they for sure would have said. When I do Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's the thing of when they're taking it and they're putting it to the thing and they're taking it there and they don't know what that's going to do. Whether it's going to rerk.
That's it. That one word will do it.
Rerk.
Yeah.
For Arnold, it's predicated on the word rerk, which is work. But no one ever did that. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Tell me, okay, this is greatest hits. I've been dreaming about this one. Tell me about Land Shark. Who invented the Land Shark and why did you become a Land Shark?
That was me. I also wrote Jaws 2, which began a takeoff on Jaws.
Right.
So that's where the Land Shark appeared. It was an easy write. I just had Jane or I don't know who, Gilda, in their apartment listening to the radio, and that the news suddenly came on and said something to the effect of, I can't even remember. Oh, anyway, they were apprised of there being another shark, not just Jaws. And that in this case, it was a little more serious because it was actually on land.
And then it's a little more serious.
And then I had this costume that I made up that it would fit right down on my knees, the shark costume. Then I'd knock on the door. And what I liked was sort of the concept that the shark was could speak and walk, but it wasn't really very intelligent. I mean, it didn't have a lot of, wasn't articulate. So I would knock.
Yeah, sharks are. They're very articulate animals.
Yeah. So I'd say, Mrs. Carlin. And she, then we, you know, be on whoever it was, Jane. So I would say, she'd say, who? Like, this is clearly not the right name. And I'd take a little pause and I'd go, Captain Gillard? Just the name itself, I'd just screw. So it's Mrs. Al.
You had the screwing of the name thing is it, because that's also my favorite bit in Fletch. When they ask Fletch right? It's the same thing, right? When they ask Fletch what his name is.
I believe I did have that in there. I can't remember what it was in that movie.
Oh, I see. Not that I'm a super fan or anything, but is Mr. Cocktosen?
Oh, that's right. And everybody said for years, and even tonight, I guess, that it was Cocktosen. It wasn't. It was, I'm John.
John.
Said, who are you? John Cocktosen. It just sort of, it went away, you know. Cocktosto, I think I went with Cocktosto. Well, Mr. Cocktoston, and of course that was the girl's thing, and it became Cocktoston, I guess. What a great career!
when I used to check into hotels under fake names, I often used John Cocktoston.
Oh, you're a silly boy!
I'm a very silly boy. you're just learning the half of it.
I want to see that game show again. I've been watching it very, you know, it's gone now. But the one you had where somebody sits in a machine and goes around and you say, Emma, drop them here.
Yes.
Here's a question. What the hell was the name of that?
Mental Samurai. It's coming on this summer. It's coming on. How did you end up watching my game show, Mental Samurai, Chevy? This is amazing.
All I had to do was see your face. And I thought, but Rob is a movie star. What's he doing on TV? And then I just started.
I'm asking myself the same thing. Well,
big money.
There's that. I will tell you that it's funny you say that because that's the when I'm just riffing with people, and that's what I love about doing Mental Samurai is you just get a chance to riff with regular people with insane stories and they're under pressure. And we literally had I think it was $100,000. And the question was, name this 1990s era world famous ensemble sitcom. And then Friends was scrambled. And it took her 30 seconds and the clock was running out. And she said, I'm going to go with Durfins.
Durfins?
Durfins.
What is that?
It's nothing, and she didn't get the $100,000, but it's Friends scrambled. Durfins.
Durfins.
And I thought, this is like some Chevy stuff. This is like, what would Chevy do?
Oh, I'd be great on that show. You should put me on the show.
Done. You're coming on season two of Mental Samurai. I'm making that happen.
Okay.
Tell me this. I need to know if... I have a couple. There's a lot of urban legends about you, Mr. Chase, as you know.
Oh, I like that.
We're going to go down a list of them now. Number one, did you get kicked out of college for housing a cow in your dorm? Yes or no?
No, I didn't get kicked out. I did get kicked out at the end of the year, having like C's or something. I don't remember. It was Haverford College. It was a very tough college. Like a small Ivy League school. And I just never liked academics and stuff. So I didn't. Anyway, I do a lot of silly things, and I had two funny roommates who I liked. I mean, I love that one of them. And I'm trying to remember. It was easy to get the cow upstairs. We were like two flights up, sort of, and then down the hall. But the cow didn't want to go downstairs, and that took people to push him just to get him down to the, you know, the first up and down the stairs. God, it was. I can't remember what happened to that cow.
It might still be there, Chevy.
No, he got out of the dorm. I think the grass is all eaten up now. Yeah.
So,
no more hay.
So that is true. You kept a cow. You didn't get kicked out for the cow, but you did keep a cow in your dorm.
Oh, well, that's true. But I didn't keep it. I brought him up, put him in my portion of the of our small dorm room, and closed the door. There was a rule at Haverford that you couldn't have a girl in your room, first of all, after 10, and second of all, with your door closed, which I wonder what that meant. And so I actually closed the door up to about 6 inches to make sure I didn't break the rule, and then came down with it. I was never bothered by that. I mean, I got in more trouble for toilet papering Reed's Hall. I got a bunch of guys with me, and you have wet toilet, you know, they throw it in before you know it, they can't get out. Anything else?
Yo, there's more. There's more. Where were you at any time ever a member of Steely Dan?
I was the drummer. We started in college at Bard, and we had a small group of us. I guess there was like a quartet. With me and Fagan and what's his name, and Becker, and we played things that were mostly jazz, because I'm a jazz drummer and a jazz pianist. I don't didn't care much about rock, and so we did that down in a place where you could do that anyway, right on the campus, and I graduated, and then they were still going, and Donald was thinking about, you know, let's take this on the road a little. Let's get a deal and whatnot. And so I said, you know, get a better drummer. I didn't want to do that, but they indeed did. Recently, Fagan said, "You were a great drummer," and I'm so proud now.
That's amazing, because, you know, famously, they never had any set drummers after you.
Yeah.
I mean, they had all of, I'm obsessed with watching the making of all Steely Dan records. I'm a huge fan. And they just have multiple session players, world famous, come in, and they just busted these guys' ass to play perfectly, because clearly nobody was Chevy Chase, the drummer, clearly.
Yeah, no, no. I love the way Donald sings.
Yes.
It's just riotous. It's so bad that, you know, people weren't seeing them and buying them for his voice. That's for sure. But they were good songs. He wrote great.
Great, great, really. Well, and it's funny. It's kind of your sense of humor, the songs, really. I mean, it's a very specific, like, sardonic, dry, but hilarious. Yeah. I mean, Steely Dan's hilarious. They're really, really
well.
Fun.
You know, I think that happened in college. We had me, and then Ken Shapiro, who was also quite funny, and he played with us a couple of times and whatnot. I think he got that kind of sense of humor thing from the way I looked at things, and Ken did. You know, so you know, I don't. I'm again flattered.
Another one confirmed. So all of the urban legends so far are true. And I love that.
Up to a point. I mean, they have to be corrected.
Well, what are the ones that need to be corrected that I didn't ask? This might be even
the
better.
The cow.
The cow had to be corrected.
But that's a technicality. Yeah. You're getting hung up on a technicality.
No, did I tell you what the cow said? That's it.
Okay. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Hey, listeners. Ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Thanks to Quince, I can get high-end, versatile pieces at fantastic prices. They've got killer luxury essentials that are perfect for my wardrobe. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. One of my producers tried Quince, and here's what he had to say.
I'm really excited to revamp my closet with Quince. There are so many great options at pretty unbeatable prices. I'm really excited to try out the burgundy cashmere crew neck. I love the blue chore jacket. Maybe I'll throw some joggers in there. These are great options at pretty unbeatable prices.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/rob for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince, quince.com/rob to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rob.
I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high-performance EVs. They're certainly out here there. But when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it. And I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV. So the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6 to learn more. That is kia.com/EV6, Kia, movement that inspires.
Were you in one of my favorite things ever? I'm trying to remember. Were you in the Ruddles?
No. I was in the, yes, I was.
Yes.
Actually, we shot that. We shot it. I was in the truck with a group of other sort of quote musicians. I'm not sure how that all worked, but it was Eric, you know, Idol. And he and John are very good writers and very funny guys. I just met John at the Beverly Hills Hotel Commissary, whatever, the restaurant, to try to convince him that we could do a great series, a half hour together.
Oh, you guys would be great.
He was quite funny. But really more serious. And, you know, I don't want to have to write again. And I said, well, I write. He said, no, you can't write this. Something like that, which he didn't mean. And even my daughter was with me, not this one, but Kaylee, and had a camera.
and we were around a table there that you'd eat at. And finally, Kaylee said, "Let me take a picture of you guys, of you two." And John just said, "All right, I'll be a bunny." And he put his, I can't show it. Can you see my, me?
Yeah. His impression of being a bunny was just putting his hands up.
It's from out of nowhere. And it was the only funny thing that he, he turned out to be the nutcase I wanted. And it was so much fun. We spent 2 hours together.
The Ruddles, for anybody listening, if you haven't seen it, what the Ruddles is there was a moment in time where there were 7 billion Beatles documentaries. Like, it was like enough with the archival footage of the Beatles, yeah. Please.
Yeah. And it was always the Beatles. It's what the name of them all were.
Yeah. Like so, that. So they did the Ruddles. So sort of like what Durfins is to Friends, the Ruddles is to the Beatles. And it's the most brilliant comedy ever. Eric Idle, the Monty Python guys, and Chevy has a little bit part in it. But do you know what the distinction of this hilarious thing is? It holds a very special distinction, the Ruddles. You want to know what it is?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
It is the single lowest rated piece of television in the history of broadcast.
I wonder why. People loved and adored the Beatles. I've become a good close friend of Paul's, McCartney, and I knew John too, but then he, somebody shot him. But, you know, that wasn't good. That didn't. Anyway.
It was not a good day.
I've asked him. You can ask Paul, by the way. We see each other in the summers. You can always ask him to sing something and he'll do it.
Really?
Yes. Now he'll go, you know, for a couple of bars.
What was John Lennon like?
He was cheeky, and not snarky, just cheeky, funny. I would see him. I was living on the West Side, around 71st Street or something, close to the river, Hudson. And I think he and Yoko lived somewhere near that too, because I'd see him quite frequently in the little park there, you know, eating something or whatever. And that's where I liked to go to eat. So I think the first time I met him, I had a huge sandwich in my hands. Anyway, then I'd walk back up 72nd Street from the park with the two of them. And we just sort of, you know, people were very frightened of him in the sense that nobody would say, "Oh, Mr. Lennon, can I have you?" You wouldn't even ask him. Because he was John Lennon. I mean, just that you might smell him is good enough. So we enjoyed. And I was already, you know, famous in this country anyway, somewhat. So he knew who I was. And it was fun.
Were you on SNL when Lorne famously offered the Beatles, I think, $75,000 to reunite?
I know that Lorne and I, in his office there, came up with the concept of 75, but I think I argued for 100, but I think it probably was 75. Yeah. Anyway, the idea, and Lorne played it beautifully. I mean, Lorne, you know, he comes out of the Second City kind of tradition in Canada and whatnot. So very funny guy, very bright and chubby. Chevy, I love the way you did him.
You know,
there you are.
The thing about Belushi is he had all the wrong heroes.
That's good, good, mm-hmm. good.
It's a good one and true, by the way.
John was so pissed off at me, Belushi. We were in a show together off Broadway in New York before this called Lemmings. And it was, and Chris Guest was on it. Alice Clayton. Anyway, it was a hit off Broadway or off Broadway. I don't know what the hell we were, but it was only later that I and Michael O'Donoghue, who was a great lampoon, probably the greatest writer and a funny, funny man. He and I became fast friends and, I always do things to him.
that he didn't expect. So he didn't know that his officer changed a little around here or a little around there, because he was the kind of guy who wrote everything in in longhand on on a lawyer's pad, and then he'd type out his sketch. We didn't have fucking time for that. I was the head writer right after he folded into his office, and I had to get people. You know, we're going to be reading, have a read through on Tuesday. It's Monday. We just had a show. So, you know, but Michael, I don't know what the hell, but.
Well, first of all, the fact that I forget that you were the head writer of SNL as well. That is a.
I was only hired for that. In fact, when I asked Lauren, can I act? He said, no.
You know, Chevy, you're too good looking. I don't want a traditional leading man on the show. It will affect the comedy. Good looking people are not as funny.
Oh, God. Well, Belushi was the star of that off-Broadway thing. They loved him. When Michael and I convinced him, because our Lampoon Radio Hour convinced Lauren that he should hire John, we had everybody else, John came in. John used to say, I'll never do television, which I always say, that's really bright, John, because you can't make more or anything. and he finally accepted and he came, but he was extremely pissed and jealous of me that I became that first star. And what could you do? You know, I loved him. And I have two or three photographs of us, just the two of us. Sitting somewhere where he's just giving me the bird from behind me, you know, the whole fucking time. Excuse my language, but you know, it's too funny.
Yeah. You just exploded out of that show, and you were only on it for one season or two?
One season and one day. After the first season, I think I came back for a day or two. That had to finish my contract or something, but it wasn't long.
And what was the first big movie? Was it Foul Play?
Well, that wasn't that big, but that was my first movie.
I remembered it as being a huge hit. Was it not a hit?
I guess it was a hit, but it wasn't like one of those $200 million movies like Danny's been doing. I hated it. I was supposed to be in that Ghostbusters, but they got another guy because I was busy. I couldn't fucking believe it. Anyway, because I really liked that movie. And Billy is so damn funny. All of anyway.
I can't believe you were supposed to be in Ghostbusters. I never knew that.
Yeah. Well, wait. In fact, when they did the video for the music in it, you know, the last shot in the video is me standing and I had a little cigarette that was, and just making the cigarette go into my mouth and then back out. People always freak out about that. Oh, don't you gonna burn yourself? It's a trick.
Yeah, Ray Parker Jr. My favorite is either I always get confused. It was Huey Lewis's "I Want a New Drug" and Ghostbusters. There was a big lawsuit because of the same song. So the question is, who? I think it was, I hate to say it, I think it was Ray Parker Jr. who stole "I Want a New Drug," I think. I want a new, dun, 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 one that won't do whatever, dun, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun,
yeah.
Dun. Where are the ghosts? And they're going to be here.
Oh, yeah,
isn't that
yeah.
the lyrics of it? Isn't that how it went?
Yeah, that is the gist. I think there was something similar with that guy, but it wasn't the same, and you can't really see.
I want a new drug, dun, 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 one that won't scare me to death, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, good.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
In Three Amigos, let's talk about Three Amigos. Oh, I got a great Lorne one. This is an actual Lorne quote. Actual Lorne quote. Vintage Truthful actually said it to me. I said, I love Three Amigos. Chevy is a genius in it. It's one of the funniest movies. He goes, the first part, the first half is funny. Then the director thought he was auditioning to direct the fucking Milagro Beanfield War.
What the hell? Oh my God. I loved making it because I had Marty and Steve. These two, you know, Steve's one of the funniest guys conceptually in the world. He's not out there as much as I project or take back. So he's not that good. But what I'm saying is he's just a great friend and very funny. He has these concepts that are silly and funny. I remember he did a movie with beautiful woman.
Is it The Jerk with Bernadette Peters?
Yeah, it might have been that, where he jumps on the woman, starts pump her.
Yep.
She's lying down and sick. It's sort of like a Franken, but better. Poor Al.
Al. They call me Al. Isn't that the name of the Paul Simon? You can call me Al.
Oh, yeah. That I love.
Was that written about Al Franken? Was that song about Al Franken? You can call me Al Franken?
No.
It wasn't?
How do you think Paul Simon gives a shit about who he is? Paul Simon, you know, he's right up there with the Beatles. He's been there forever, Simon and Schuster. Simon and Garfunkel. You know, it's funny because Lauren is the one who suggested, why don't you do Lauren Paul's video for this new record?
Graceland.
Yeah, Graceland. And Paul said, that's an idea. And then there was that, a man walks down the street. He says, why am I shut? You know, great yes. Move. To be my bodyguard. In any case, Paul called and said, I'm going to record tomorrow a video. You want to come and you could do me and I'll just do Paul trying to carry huge things into the you know, whatever. So I went there. And by the way, I learned those words and the singing of them on the way in on a limo from East Hampton. And I just adored him, and I did it in one take.
No way.
I had it down, all of it, in one take, on top of which I was making little moves, like with my hand and dropping a cocktail glass and stuff. So I gave him all I could, and I haven't heard from him in fucking years.
I realize that song is really Paul Simon rapping.
Paul Simon.
It's like he's rapping. Why am I fought in the middle and why is my life so hard? And a man walks down the street and it's rapping. It's Paul Simon's version of rapping.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Never thought about that.
I don't know. Paul, come here. Let's talk.
He's with Edie Brickell now. Very happy.
What I have. Okay. So, and Three Amigos. When the burning bush, the singing bush. When the singing bush sings only public domain songs, that's the most inside joke in the history of inside jokes.
And who wrote that? Steve.
Really?
Yeah, great. Yeah. You know, Lauren was on that. He was given credit too for writing, but really it was Steve and the singer Randy they really wrote the thing, and that's a typical scene in that particular bit. I as Dusty Bottoms did not come into the shot. I was away from the shot holding their horses and on my own horse because they had gotten off and wanted to see the singing bush and the invisible swordsman. And it's probably my best and funniest thing that I do in the whole movie is that I'm quite far in the background, but you can see it clearly with me and these horses. And no sound or anything. I'm just out behind them. And I get off my horse and actually land on the horse next to me backwards. And it's just one of those things that I just love that crap. And there it is. If you ever see that movie again, look for it.
I will. It's one of my favorite sequences in one of my favorite movies.
And then my
movies.
Hands go, you know, my hands shoot out like, what happened? Great. I love that character anyway.
And we'll be right back after this.
Looking for a sparkling clean bathroom without so much hassle? Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner is here to revolutionize your cleaning future. Just spray today, rinse tomorrow, and voila! Enjoy a sparkling clean shower and tub without any scrubbing. It's the secret to a hassle-free clean bathroom that many are discovering. With over 33,000 five-star reviews, Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner has proven its effectiveness on shower glass, fixtures, tiles, and more, ensuring everything shines with minimal effort. This product has gained a loyal following thanks to its once-a-week application that makes it a standout in the cleaning aisle. Join the ranks of satisfied users who enjoy more me time and less clean time with Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner, available at Amazon, Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, and Ace Hardware. It's the perfect choice for anyone wanting to simplify their cleaning routine. Don't miss out on a chance to transform your bathroom cleaning with just one application a week. Pick up a bottle of Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Cleaner today and join the thousands who've already made the switch to Effortless Clean.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Listen, I love that we've gotten this far into the interview without talking about the most iconic, of course, which is Caddyshack. And
yeah.
I mean, Caddyshack made me want to play golf. And I'm dressed in golf outfit. I'm going to go play golf when we're done today. And I blame you.
I can't play golf, man. I hated golf. I'm tennis.
But I thought your swing was pretty good.
In fact, I've rarely played once or twice. Oh, I know what it is. I played for the movie. You know, I apparently looked pretty good. Some golfer told me I had a good swing, or whatever. And then later, Billy would call me. He's a great golfer. You know, he's right up there with the pros.
Yeah,
this is his thing, Billy Murray. And he'd call and say, "You want to play golf?" And I'd go, "All right." And I'd meet him somewhere half between at a club, a golf course. And I'd go about. He's so patient. I'd go through the seven shots of the first hole, and then as I'd approaching the second hole, you know, pretty much every time we played, he'd be sitting all the way at the ninth hole, drinking a beer and waiting for me. I mean, that's how good he was. And I wanted to play that, you know, and I think I would shoot like 180, something like that.
Yeah, that's not a good score. Incredible. Not a good score, but your swing in the movie looks pretty damn good. Does.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't, the trick is to actually make contact with the ball.
Yes.
that wasn't in that shot.
Yes.
And I have plenty of trouble with that with Bill. And he tried to teach me a little thing here or there, but I think I probably jerked back or something when just getting to the ball because I was nervous or whatever. I just never really made the right. Once I hit a solid, you know, 200 yard thing, but that was it.
So my favorite bit in that movie, and again, I think it's like everybody knew you were funny in those days. You're still funny, but you're a good actor, man. There's a great moment with you and Lacey Underall, by the way, one of the great names in history, where you say, "Let's just pretend there were two human beings.
There's the scene when she comes to my abode.
It's you're both in your formal attire. Yeah. It's outside, and you open the beer bottle can that's already been opened.
Yeah.
And you let's just pretend there were two human beings.
No, that's inside. That was in my house, and it was a Perrier bottle.
Oh, you're right. Okay, you're right.
Oh, look at that. And there was close to nothing because I just had the top off already, but my back was to her. And then there, and also in that, what I loved is that there were, I said I was just out diving or something, or fishing, whatever. But what you could see was clearly a motor and skis. That apparently, and something else, I can't remember what, but it just showed the fact that the tie web might go out there and just slice fish up as he's skiing. There was nothing about fishing. He's a maniac, but nobody ever responded to that, and that's just fine. I didn't want to make more of it, but yeah.
And Ted Knight, I don't think, gets enough credit for, he's so funny.
Oh, Ted.
Ted Knight. Are you my pal? How about a fresca? I mean, he is.
I think he was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. How about a fresca?
How about a fresca?
I mean, the fact that all of us were, there were plenty of, if I may say so, drugs on that movie.
Yep.
It was right at the middle of that point when pot and coke were a big deal. And he would just spend his time eating salads. He never wanted to have anything to do with that. But there was a night, this is a funny story too. We lived in this dorm, basically a golf motel. And so I had a room and everybody had a room. And I got a knock on the door around, I don't know, 10:40. And come on in. My door was open. I'm in bed. And it's Billy and Brian Doyle Murray, his brother. Hey, Jeff, you got any coke? No, I don't have any of that. You got any weed, man? Any? No, I don't. I'll tell you what. Go next door. That's Rodney. He might have something like that. Good. I'm going to sleep. Okay, so they close the door. Oh, thanks, Jeff, thanks. And knock on Rodney's door. And I love this story that they went in, opened his door, and he's in bed. And they said, "Hey, Rodney, you got any coke?" And Rodney says, I don't know. Do you have any weed? Any? Oh, yeah. You see that the bag right in front of you? Paper bag. Take it. Enjoy it. Enjoy. So the two of these guys take this paper bag that's screwed up and go downstairs. They're happy as hell. They go downstairs to a larger sitting room type place. And they open the bag. It's all seeds. I thought that was brilliant. And, you know, this wasn't a real bright man, Rodney. But that was, I think he'd been waiting for anybody to ask him for pot. That's what he had for them. And the two Murray brothers, you know, what the heck? They couldn't be taken.
The stories of that set are legendary. I mean, people always ask me what's, you know, how's the movie and TV business changed? You know, it's changed a lot. But I mean, in those days, honest to God, you would go on a movie set and people dealt drugs like front, left and center. It was like everywhere. And Caddyshack might have been the high watermark. Caddyshack might have been, right?
I think, yes. And as I say, it was in the 80s, I guess early 80s, maybe, yeah, right around 1980 or whatever. But, you know, we'd gone through the 60s and the 70s, where it was already accepted by mayors and cops and everything else that people smoked pot and snorted coke, that they couldn't really stop it. I mean, it was a big hit with people roughly my age and who have grown out of that, I hope. Most of them have died. I don't know. In any case, the change came about because views of behavior and religion got more effective. The
people. And there was, it just became something that, I mean, today you'd never see anybody doing coke. Maybe once in a while you see somebody with some pot. But, that, you know, because of this goddamn Reagan and their people and his wife, they just say no. Yeah, just say this. And, you know, I mean, it was just, that was it. It ruined it. I'm glad because I would have probably just taken it right to the grave. I love that cocaine, but I just quit, bam, like that. The way I quit smoking that way too, just bam.
You quit just cold turkey? That's very hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, because I never believed that you can't do that, man. You've got to, fuck it, just don't buy it and don't have any from anybody. That's the zip. You know, about 2 weeks of wondering if I should try it again, and I've not, ever. And same with the cigarettes, too. It's just, I don't know where I learned that from my granddad, I guess, from my father.
That's great.
But it's just, let's get on with it, you know.
I wonder if the movies of those days, what they would have been like without all of the drugs. I mean, they would have for sure been different. I'm not sure they would have been better. I'm not sure they would have been worse, but they would have been different.
Yeah. The question is whether it mattered. I think it overdid itself, those drugs, and that so many of these Cheech and Chong type films came out that people just didn't want to see them anymore. They didn't know much that, you know, I mean, there were references to it in later films, but that I made, and reference here and there. But yeah.
Chevy, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. I love catching up with you. We need to do
it. Me too. It's great to see you. And this has been on a long time. I don't know how you're going to edit it. I don't know what you do. But in fact, I enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, anytime you want to do that, this, or something else that requires your talent and you need somebody else, give me a buzz.
I will for sure. You're the absolute best. Stay out of that snow. Get a fire. Hang out with your beautiful family. And thank you again and again for everything all the work you've made and will continue to make. You made this Midwestern boy very happy for many, many years.
Good boy.
All right.
Chevy. Okay.
Thank you.
Listen, let's meet up again. I'll see you on the next one.
All right, brother.
Take care. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
I hope you loved Mr. Chevrolet Chase as much as I did. That was a dream come true. If you'd have told me, my 13-year-old self, that one day I would have a podcast and I would be talking to Chevy, I would have been like, my career will be complete. And that is a tick on the box of the wish list. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Okay, so before we wrap up for the week, it is time. Yes, it is. I know you're ready. I know I am. For the Lowdown Line.
Hello, you've reached literally in our Lowdown Line, where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323-570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Hi, my name is Brenda. I'm from Escondido, from California. My question is, looking at this picture of the sun, hurt your eye?
Well, Brenda, here's the thing. The lighter your eyes are, they say, the more it hurts the sun. My eyes are very blue, and they burn very easily. Here's the good news. It's never happened to me looking at a picture. Now, I'm not saying that it can't. Anything is possible. But as someone with extremely sensitive eyes for light, I, for one, am thrilled that so far, when I look at a picture of the sun, it does not burn my eyes. Thank you for calling it.
You have been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe. Produced and engineered by me, Devin Torrey Bryant. Executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile. Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Stitcher. The supervising producer is Aaron Blair. Talent producer, Jennifer Samples. Please rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?